Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, June 11th, 2015. And with me today, back fresh from Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference, Dave Hamilton. How are you?
I am back in Durham, New Hampshire. That is the state I am in.
Well, I can think of far worse states for someone to be in.
Yeah, it was a crazy couple of days, short trip back and forth to California, but good, and I'm glad I went. Yeah,
awesome. I'm glad you went too, because that means that that I get to talk with someone that had a firsthand experience at WWDC this year, and I'd love to explore that. But before I do, I'd also love to talk about our sponsor today, which is Casper, the mattress company. And I'm pretty excited that they are our sponsor this week, because they have actually been helping me sleep better. And that's a big thing, because it's no secret that I have pretty bad sleep issues. And ever since I've had a Casper mattress, my sleep patterns have been improving. And that's an awesome thing. So if you're not familiar with their mattresses, which only means that you haven't been listening closely all week, they make really high-quality mattresses that are multiple layers of foam that are sandwiched together. So you get the right amount of support, the right amount of flex and squishiness without ending up with something that kind of wraps up and is like the little alien face hugger thing, but for your whole body. And you don't overheat in the beds. And I mean, wow, they're just really nice beds. And I love that not only do they make an incredibly high quality product, but they charge less than their competitors because they sell online. So they don't have to have all the overhead that goes along with having stores and retail staff and all of that. And so you can get these really good mattresses. As an example, I have the queen size mattress, $850, as opposed to over $1,000 if you go somewhere else. And even better, if you go to their website, casper.com/TDO, and use the discount code TDO, you're going to get $50 off. So you can pick up the same mattress I have, the $850 queen size mattress, for $800, and you're not going to pay shipping. So it's delivered right to your door. You pop it out of the box, which is a magical event in and of itself. And within 5 minutes, if you can put sheets on your bed quickly, you can climb in bed and go to sleep, which is absolutely awesome. So anyhow, I'm very pleased that Casper's our sponsor, because I like sleeping better, and I'd love for all of you to sleep better as well. So head to their website, casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO and get yourself a new mattress. Start sleeping better right away. All right. So Dave.
Jeff.
You went to WWDC. You got to sit in on the keynote.
And just to be clear, that's all I got to sit in on. I did not have a ticket for WWDC this year. My trip was too short to make that worthwhile.
Sure. And the fact that you didn't have a ticket also means that you were not in sessions where you would be seeing things that you couldn't talk about with me.
Yeah. Although, you know, Apple's NDA has gotten a lot looser on that. You can't post screenshots or videos or pictures from being in the sessions. But otherwise, I think it's actually kind of all fair game now, which is good.
That is good. And that's a big change. Yeah.
It is. I think it was more, I think the change happened in practice several years ago and then happened officially last year when the NDA was amended to allow for that. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's cool. All right, so were there any announcements or was there anything that you saw that really stood out as really cool to you or very important?
So, you know, being in the room it is interesting. It was warm in the room, and I think that was just because San Francisco was having a bit of a heat wave, or what they might call a heat wave. But and that's not a complaint. It's just notable because it's not usually the temperature's not usually uncomfortable. So the length of the keynote and how intense it is being in the room kind of makes it I always have to process for a few days afterwards to really kind of wrap my head around what went on. But the thing as I was walking out that really stuck with me was the attention that they're giving to the iPad with iOS 9.
Yes.
This was not the case with iOS 8. You know, after WWDC's keynote last year, even installing the betas on my iPad, which is a machine, the device that I always put iOS betas on because I can deal with it. Well, there's all my notifications happening. Who knows who's trying to reach me? And I didn't mute anything. My iPad is not a device. I use it every day, but if it were to need to be wiped clean, I can live with it. So, So my iPad is the device that I put them on. And when I put iOS 8 beta on, it was clear that the iPad was sort of an afterthought with iOS 8, or it certainly wasn't getting attention specific to the iPad. That is absolutely not the case. I put the beta of iOS 9 on my iPad while in San Francisco, which has become a tradition, and it worked great. I was able to watch movies on it and do everything I wanted to do on the way home. I'm not going to review the beta because that's the point of a beta is not to be reviewed.
I agree completely.
Right. There are problems with it, I'm sure. I don't know that I've run into any of them yet, but I'm sure there are some, and maybe it'll get faster or whatever. But being able to use that split screen stuff was very exciting. It makes the iPad feel less like the iPhone's larger brother, or like Brian Chaffin used to call it, the iPod Super Touch.
Uh-huh.
It's doing some things that only an iPad can do, or only a larger screen device only makes sense on a larger screen device. Of course, the iPhone could do these things. It's got the horsepower, but doing this split screen stuff and being able to drive around and select text using the soft trackpad on the keyboard makes it feel like I'm not using mittens anymore when I'm trying to do things on the iPad. I spent a good deal of time. I've got to speak on Saturday morning, and I actually edited a keynote presentation on my iPad, and was very pleased with how that whole experience went. That was the thing. You can tell I'm excited about that. There's other things too, of course, but that was the one that really stuck out with me.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to trying that out as well, especially because I keep looking at my iPad and wanting it to be a device that I can use in lieu of my MacBook Pro for more than I can today. And the announcements that they made for the iPad-specific enhancements in iOS 9 are going to get me a lot closer to that, I think, which is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the goal. I'm not sure, and I think it will succeed in getting you and other users somewhat closer. I don't know how much closer it's going to get us all. For some people, it will suffice and will be a replacement for a laptop, and for some people, it won't.
It won't be the complete replacement, but there will be more situations where it can be, compared to what it is today. Of course, it means I have to get a new iPad because I have an iPad Air, and you need to have an iPad Air 2 to take advantage of all the new features.
Correct. Yeah, my iPad Retina Mini does the slide-in stuff, but does not do the full split screen.
Right.
Yep, but that's fine. I mean, year and a half, almost two-year-old device. And that's okay. I mean,
it's pretty cool that you can actually do that on a device that's more than a generation old now.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So yeah, I'm very excited about it. I think it'll work. I think it'll work quite well. So
that's awesome.
Yep.
That's awesome. Were there any features from OS X El Capitan that really stood out to you?
You know, I'm trying to rack my brain about OS X El Capitan features, and I'm trying to think. So, nothing jumps out, at least not.
I take that as a good sign.
Yeah.
because if there had been real standout new features, then that tells me that Apple missed the point in what they needed to do with this version of OS X, which is enhancements and refinements. And I think that that's more of what we're going to get out of El Capitan.
Yeah, it certainly feels like that, and it certainly needs that. You know, they've cleaned up quite a bit. The one thing, actually, that I really kind of like, and it's silly. It's, I know it's technically a feature of El Capitan, but it's really just a feature of the new Safari that will come with it, mm-hmm. is being able to pin things to the Safari tab bar.
Yes.
I like that. That's handy. It immediately spoke to me. My guess is it spoke to everyone. So.
Yes, and considering that's something that you've been able to do in some other browsers already,
right?
I can see why Apple decided it was time to add that to Safari. So that was good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I'm not sure what to think about the Spotlight stuff. We'll have to see. You know, Spotlight and Notes. It's cool what they're doing with Notes. I don't know that it's going to matter to people that it matters to, because we've sort of already solved that problem for ourselves.
Sure.
You know, there's Evernote, there's all kinds of those things that have more features than Apple's Notes do. But there's a lot of people that use Apple's Notes. So, I mean, that's good. But yeah, nothing really jumped off the page other than that Safari thing. It was like, oh, hey, I'll use that. That's nice. You know, and that's all I need. If they can improve the stability of it, you know, I think that's important.
Cause I agree.
Yosemite has been weirder than Mavericks for me in a lot of ways. And weird is the only word I can use to describe it. If I don't reboot my Retina iMac here every 3 days, every 4 days, it just gets sluggish and it doesn't run out of RAM. There's nothing obvious. In fact, I thought it was a Thunderbolt dock at first that was causing trouble, and since realized, no, with the dock unplugged, that, you know, it's hard to test something that happens only after several days.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, but it's definitely consistent for me with Yosemite on both iMacs that I use. So hopefully I haven't tried El Capitan yet.
I figure as long as El Capitan gives me better performance, takes away the weird problems I'm having on my main Mac, like weird enough that I'm not even using it right now because it's just too slow and unstable.
Yeah.
Then that's good enough for me. Just make it work and I'll be happy.
Yeah, just make it work. Yeah.
So we're almost out of time. But before we go, I was curious, since you were there, what sort of vibe did you pick up from the other people that were at WWDC? And you spent some time at AltConf too, right?
I did. Yeah. So I talked to, even though I wasn't at any of the other sessions, I definitely spoke with a lot of people that were there. So one thing I will share, because this was one of those you had to be there moments. In fact, it happened twice because we had a 2.5 hour keynote at both 10:50 Pacific a.m. Pacific and 11:50 a.m. Pacific. Everyone in the room, or not everyone, but most people in the room, all looked at their watches simultaneously. And that's because that's the point in time at which the Apple Watch tells you to stand up and move around.
And see, and I was wondering, was Apple going to acknowledge that? Because I knew there would be a mass stand-up alert in the room.
We all noticed it at 10:50, and then sort of the word went around that at 11:50, we're all just going to stand up and move around.
Mm-hmm.
At 11:50 was when a video was playing, so the room was dark, and therefore it just didn't happen. Or if it did, no one noticed.
I was really hoping there'd be a group stand at some point.
Yeah, I think if Craig Federighi had been on stage, everybody would have done it. And it would have been funny. I mean, it wouldn't have taken much. If 8 or 10 of us stood up, the rest of the crowd, you know, would have done the same thing.
Oh, of course.
Right. I mean, that's just how that works. But So that part was interesting. In terms of the vibe in the room, there was a lot of discussion this week. Some really happy developers for a couple reasons, right? One was that the stability thing and maybe some new features, but really the stability thing, And then I actually heard from some developers. In fact, it was the AgileBits guys were saying to me, Dave Tier said, hey, you know, I'm really happy after this keynote. Maybe it's just that I've been doing this too long, but normally the summer is a very busy time for us because we've got to keep up with what Apple's doing new with every OS. He says it's been a thing for the last several years when there's been a new version of OS X every year. And of course, Apple has committed to doing that. He's like, this year I'm kind of feeling like I don't need to spend the summer heads down working. He's like, we'll still work, but it's not going to be this crunch time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they'll have to test, and I'm sure they will. They're a responsible developer. They'll test on the betas and make sure that all their stuff works and fix the things that don't, and et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, that's that was definitely the vibe afterwards. And the real thing that excited developers, and me too, was watchOS 2. Yes. Having native apps on the watch is going, it's the only way to solve the sluggishness that we feel and the lags that we feel when launching existing apps on the watch, you know, when they just spin and spin during launch, waiting to get data from the phone. I think that will solve that. I also think that it will reduce battery life on the watch, right? I mean, we've been hearing 18 hours of battery life for a long time. I don't know anyone that gets 18 hours. I know people that get lots and lots more than that out of a watch. But as soon as you ask the watch to do some processing, well, the CPU is going to burn more battery. So I think that we'll see some reduced battery life there. But I've spoken to some people that tell me no, that it we should not expect to see that. So
that would be a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy post-WWDC schedule to sit down and chat, because I really wanted a perspective from someone that had been there.
Yeah, my pleasure. Yeah, it's fun stuff.
Yeah, so it's great to have you here. And it was also great to have Casper as our sponsor today. Head over to their website, casper.com/TDO, and use the discount code TDO for TMO Daily Observations. Get yourself $50 off a really great mattress, which will be awesome because even though you can't sleep with me, you can sleep like me, and that's worth something. And listeners, thank you for joining us again today. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.